Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Mem Dalad, and we're going to begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Amar Mar Barei de Ravina. In the previous shiur, the Gemara discussed the Turbitz Haveshet. The Turbitz Haveshet, which actually later in our shiur, Mitzvah Shem, the Gemara is going to actually describe what is the Turbitz Haveshet. But we had a Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. What is the halacha regarding the Turbitz Haveshet? Rav's opinion was, on one hand, the leniency, that if you shecht the behemoth by the Turbitz Haveshet, it's a kosher shechita. But he also had a chumrah, that if you puncture the Turbitz Haveshet, just a minimal hole, it's a treifa. Shmuel, on the other hand, had also chumrah nekula. He said you can't shecht an animal by the Turbitz Haveshet. But on the other hand, and it's very connected, as we learned in the previous year, if to make the animal treif, you had to have cut most of the Turbitz Haveshet. If it just had a puncture, then it's not treif. And the Gemara reported, that was the last story, the last part of the issue that we discussed in the previous year, that once there was an animal that was punctured by the Turbitz Haveshet, just a puncture, and it was brought to Rava, and Rava said that the animal's treif. Why? Because he took on the chumras, that's how the shechita took place. They started with a puncture in the Turbitz Haveshet and then cut the rest of the Haveshet. And Rava said that the animal's treif, because Rava assumed both chumras. The chumra of Rav, that even a puncture is a problem, and the chumra of Shmuel, that is not a place where shechita could take place. And the Gemara said that Rav Avuha said, to Rava, that piece of meat that he threw in the garbage because he considered a treif, he has to pay for what he did. Begins, and that's where we begin today's shiur. Amar Mar Barei de Ravina, Mesivna to Yufta, I'm going to ask a question, Klap a son of the Rava, about to the enemy of Rava. So Pash Pasha, we're not asking a question to the enemy of Rava, we're asking a question on Rava. So why does the Gemara call him the enemy of Rava? So Mepharshim explained, as we're going to see in a moment, that the Gemara is suggesting that what Rava did is called ksil. Ksil means foolish. So the Gemara doesn't want to say explicitly that Rava was foolish, so that's why the Gemara says, son of the Rava, a euphemism, the enemy of Rava. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that we're discussing the people who are Rava's opponents, because they made Rava pay for the meat. So we're going to explain the opinion of the opponents of Rava that made Rava pay for this piece of meat. Loilam, the Brisa says, Loilam hilchasa kadibur beis hillel. Whenever we have a machloikus beis shammai beis hillel, we follow the opinion of beis hillel. And as the Rishonim already explained, even though we know that whenever we have a shaila and a halacha, there are different approaches that are taken how to deal with a shaila and halacha. Safek d'raisa l'chumra, safek d'rabbana l'kula. We follow Roiv, the majority. We follow the opinion of our Rebbe, as we'll discuss later in the shir. We follow the opinion that makes more sense. But here is an exception to the rule. La'olam halach k'divri beis hillel. The halach is always like beis hillel. And as Mepharshim go on to explain, because even though as the Gemara says, beis hillel, beis shammai mechadad tfei, they were actually sharper. We still follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, either because Beis Hillel would arrive, most people follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, or because Beis Hillel had the characteristic that they were easier going, and in this world, especially before Mashiach, we have to go with the person who's more easygoing. And therefore the Gemara says, La'olam, even though we have certain approaches how to look at a shaila and a halacha, La'olam, we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. And then the Gemara right away says a statement which the Gemara is going to focus on. If you want to follow Beis Shammai's opinion, you can. Which is a contradiction which the Gemara is going to pick up on a moment. Says the Gemara, if somebody picks up everybody's leniencies, he's a Rasha. If he picks up everybody's chumras, all of our curse of Omer regarding him, the Pasuk says, Haksil b'choshech choylech. He's a fool that goes in the dark. Ella, Ike b'shamik kukulein chumreim. if you're going to choose to follow Beis Shammai's opinion, you should always follow that opinion. Ika Beis Hillel, if you're going to follow Beis Hillel's opinion, kikulei mekuchem reim. You should always follow their opinion. So Rashi points out that even though the Gemara is saying that a person who picks up everybody's kulis is a fool, says Rashi, everybody's chumris, says Rashi, that isn't in a situation where the two chumris that you chose have no connection to each other. Rashi says that when the Gemara says that you're considered a fool, it's only in a situation where the two chumris contradict each other. And Rashi gives two examples. One, both of them were in the shurim that we've been learning. We learned the other day, what is the halacha of an animal if a person who's not alive is missing only one vertebrae, one cholya? Is he metame ba'ol or not? According to Beis Hillel, he's not. According to Beis Shammai, of a skeleton. According to Beis Shammai, you have to be missing two cholyas. So who's the machmer? Beis Shammai. But on the other hand, in the very same issue, what happens if you have an animal missing one vertebrae? According to Beis Shammai, the animal is not treif. According to Beis Hillel, the animal is treif. So you can't take both chumras, saying that the person is not, that the skeleton is not tamei, and saying that this animal is treif, is taking two chumras in one subject that we can't do. Another example Rashi gives, which is most relevant to our shiur, is what Rava did. He took the chumra of Rav and Shmuel at the same time. That Rav said even the most slightest puncture makes this animal treif. And Shmuel said that if you did any shchit in this area, the animal is treif. But they contradict each other. And to take both chumras is unacceptable. I saw a beautiful vart from the Ostriftzer. Why? The Gemara is saying, Ksil, it's foolish to take both chumras. But the Gemara says, Ksil b'choysha choylich. He goes in the dark. Why is the Gemara using that pasuk? So he says a very nice pshat. He says, there's a machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in Hilchos Shabbos. What is considered Shvisas Kalim? According to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to let any of your Kalim do Malach on Shabbos. That means, in our world, if you have a refrigerator that you plugged in before Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, you wouldn't be allowed to use that Kalim. Shvisas Kalim. Beis Hillel says, if you didn't do any malach, it's fine. So now, you have a very big issue, according to Beis Shammai. If you take a candelabra, in their world, that they didn't have electricity, and you put candles in it before Shabbos, according to Beis Hillel, it's perfectly fine. According to Beis Shammai, it's a problem. Shvisas Kalim. So how could a person on Shabbos sit? Will he sit in the dark the whole Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai? The answer is, Beis Shammai has a different halacha. According to Beis Shammai, to make something hefker, you don't have to make it hefker for everybody. You could say even just to yourself that I'm being mafker it, it's good enough. And you only mean to be mafker to a certain group of people, it's good enough, it's hefker. According to Beis Hillel, that isn't good enough. So according to Beis Shammai, what are you going to do? If you're going to make it hefker to everybody, you're going to make an announcement in shul that my candelabra is hefker, you're not going to have a candelabra after Shabbos. Beis Hillel would have a problem. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, says, make it a hefker that nobody knows about. And according to Beis Shammai, that's an acceptable hefker. So now let's think about the situation. According to Beis Shammai, what do you have to do? Make it hefker. Just a private hefker. According to Beis Hillel, you don't have a problem at all, because he doesn't hold the issue of Shvisas Kalim. Let's say you take everybody's chumras, that you hold a Shvisas Kalim, like Beis Shammai, and you hold like hefker, like Beis Hillel, what are you going to end up sitting in? The dark. So the question comes back to our Gemara. But before we go further, ask the Gemara Hagufakasha. Let's understand this brisa. Amrit, we began this brisa by saying, that the halacha follows the opinion of Beis Hillel. For Hada Tanim, this very brisa afterwards says, that you can follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. How do we understand this brisa? Answer the Gemara Loikasha. Kan koidim baskol, kan la'acha baskol. First, before the baskol, there was, you could follow anybody's opinion, although consistency is crucial. After the baskol came down in the Shemayim and said that you have to follow, that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, then we follow Beis Hillel's opinion. What is a baskol? The Farshim discuss. Most Mepharshim say that the Paschal is some sort of an echo. It's not a direct voice min Hashemayim. It's an echo. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that we no longer have Nevuah. What is Nevuah? Where Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks directly to a specific individual. That no longer exists. But what do we have? What we have is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks in general terms. We don't have any more about, we don't have any more that Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us individually. There is a baskal that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So what is the obvious difficulty with this brisa? The brisa is saying that the first part, the loyla malacha divrei Beis Hillel, that we're following the opinion of Beis Hillel. So, and that's after now that we have a baskal. So what's pshat that the brisa says, v'roitz alasik divrei Beis Shammai? Once there's a baskal, if the brisa would have said, haroitz alasik divrei Beis Shammai first, the brisa would be very understandable. First, the brisa is speaking before there was a baskal. There you could choose who do you want to follow. And after the baskal, loyla malacha divrei Beis Hillel. But that's not what the brisa says. The brisa says, loyla malacha divrei Beis Hillel. And then the brisa says, v'roitz alasik Beis Shammai. Once there's a baskal, you can't follow Beis Shammai. So I saw that some Mepharshim say in that that's the reason that the Gemara gives another teretz immediately because of this inherent difficulty with the teretz. The Ben Yoyada says a different approach, very nice approach. The Ben Yoyada's approach is that let's say the baskal comes down today and yesterday there was a piece of meat. And according to Beis Shammai, this piece of meat is kosher. According to Beis Hillel, this piece of meat is not kosher. And today, the baskal comes out that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. But with yesterday, Beis Shammai, and the person who chose to follow like Beis Shammai, held that the meat is kosher. He just didn't eat it yet. Would he be allowed to eat that meat or not? Says the Ben Yoyada, that's what the Brisa is teaching us. Halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel, there's a baskal that says that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. But even though there's a halacha that says the halacha is Beis Hillel, that's only from when the baskal came. Anything that was there from before the baskal, haroitz alasik divrei Beis Shammai, you could continue eating that meat. V'bai seimer, but as we said, the Gemara gives another teretz, af lach baskal. This brisa is even after the baskal. If there's a baskal that says we have to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, Rabbi Shuahi, the second part of the brisa that says haroitz alasik divrei Beis Shammai is following the opinion of Rabbi Shua, daim mishgichim baskal. We don't follow a baskal. Why? So Rashi and Tosfos quote the famous Gemara in Masechet Baba Metzia that there was machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim regarding the status of tumah by the tanura shalachnoi, it's a type of furnace, type of oven. Rabbi Elazar said it's tumah, the Chachamim said it's tahor, and there was a baskal that came down from the Shemaim and said loy b'shemaim hi. The halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and the Chachamim said loy b'shemaim hi. Even though the baskal says halacha k'divrei Rabbi Elazar, we don't follow the loy b'shemaim hi. And that's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. And Tosfos goes on to explain as follows. So what was the baskal? If the baskal was incorrect, and we're going to follow the roiv, and we're going to follow the opinion of the Chachamim, we ignore the baskal, so why was there a baskal? So one pshat Tosfos says was that it came down to say in this issue we're not going to follow the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Why? Because the Chachamim, who are the majority, dispute him. But in everywhere else, halacha kedir Beis Hillel. So one pshat Tosfos says. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is that they were testing them, min Hashemayim. They wanted to understand how far are they going to be going with not following the baskal. And Rebbe Shua held that we can never follow the baskal. We ignore baskals. And that's why, even though it was a baskal, I wrote the last of the Rebbe Shammai Yasser. So I saw a beautiful vart based on this Gemara. There's a famous question. We sit by the Seder and we say to the Dayenu. And one of the things we say in the Dayenu is, Ilu karvonu lufnei Sinai, v'loi nosim lanu as a Torah, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought us to Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu, it's fine. It's an obvious question. What do we have from going to Har Sinai without the Torah? So Mepharshim explained, it's our Gemara. What we're saying is, Ilu kavanu lifnei Har Sinai. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have brought us to Har Sinai, and of course given us the Torah, but not given us the ability to be the ones to make the final decision. Didn't say that you will have the final authority. It's fine, as long as we got the Torah. And that's pshat in the pasuk. Toivi Torahs picha malfei zohar v'chesef. What's pshat in that pasuk? Beautiful pshat. You know, everything in life, we really don't control. We think we control. We control nothing. Who controls everything? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the only thing that we have ultimate control over? Torah. Because our Gemara is teaching us, Torah Leib HaShemayimi. Toivli Torahs picha. Torah is better than Alfi Zohar v'chesef. You could be very wealthy, but the money's not in your control. It's all in Hashem's control. Toivli Torahs picha. The only thing that we really control is Torah. Because Torah Leib HaShemayimi. But go back to the Gemara, to our sugya. Mikomakom Kasha. We need to understand Rava's practice here. Here he's paskening both like Rav and Shmuel, which is a chumrah both. Answers the Gemara. There was a misunderstanding. This is the way that we're trying to point this out. There was a misunderstanding of Rav's opinion. Amrav Tavis, Kulak Rav Avda. He really completely followed the opinion of Rav. The ki osir Rami Be'yachaskel, Omar. Rami Be'yachaskel taught us, le'tatitzu lahani klola dekal Yehuda ochi mishmei de Rav. Don't pay attention to what he said. Hochi Amar Rav, Veshet nosnu b'chachamim shir. The chachamim taught us where you could shech the veshet. Mechlal. So what do we understand from this statement of Rav? That only in the veshet may we shecht. The turbetz haveshet la makom shchituhu. You can't shecht. If you did any part of the shchit in the turbetz haveshet, it's not an acceptable shchita. The comma, and yet Rav said b'mashahu. So now there's a whole new reinterpretation of Rav's opinion. It's not that Rav holds that the reason it's a mashahu is because you're allowed to shecht in turbetz haveshet. Two separate halachas. One halacha is you're not allowed to shecht in turbetz haveshet. And that is another halacha that if there's a mashahu, the slightest puncture teaches us Rav in that turbetz haveshet, the animal's treif. Now we understand why Rav didn't let them eat that animal. So now, there's very interesting machlokes rishonim. We learned when we discussed the first mission of our perek, and we actually discussed this extensively in the previous perek, that if a veshet even has the smallest puncture, it's an avela, not a treifa. What's going to be the halacha if the turbetz aveshet has a hole? It's certainly treif. Will it be an avela or will it be a treifa? Machlokes rishonim. And I saw that the achronim, the sefer sichas chulin, gives a beautiful explanation to this machlokes rishonim. He says, why, there's a machlokes, we discussed this, why if the veshet even has the smallest hole is the animal in the vela? There are two explanations. One explanation is, because if you have a veshet that's already somewhat torn, so cutting a veshet that's already somewhat cut is not a maisa shchita. And therefore the animal is not a vela, it's an avela because you didn't do a proper maisa shchita. That's one explanation. Another explanation is, because since the veshet, as we've been learning, is such a crucial part of the lifeline of the animal, so if it has even the smallest puncture, it's considered an avela. So now we can understand the machlokes rishonim, he says. If we're going to say that the issue with the turbetz aveshet is because it's such a crucial area of the animal, the turbetz aveshet is also so crucial. And therefore, if the turbetz aveshet says Rav has an avela, has a puncture, it's an avela. If, on the other hand, we're going to say that the reason aveshet is if an aveshet has even the slightest hole, the animal is an avela. The reason is because you don't have a maisa shchita, but that's only on the aveshet. The turbetz aveshet is not a place for shchita, and therefore, even if it has a hole, it'll only be a treifa, not an avela. So now, we've been discussing the turbetz aveshet. So the Gemara goes into understanding where exactly is the aveshet and where is the turbetz aveshet. At Kama, so till where can you shecht the veshet that you shouldn't be in the area that's no longer the veshet? Amrav Nachman, at Lamal at Kama, on the top of the veshet, till where can you shecht? Akit Fisa Sayyad. So Rashi's preferred pshat is a fist, three or four etzbos, that's the amount that on the top of the veshet, on the top of the esophagus is already not considered the veshet, it's already considered turbetz aveshet. Rashi wants to say a different pshat, that it's not the whole finger, it's just the tip of the finger. Furthermore, all the Rishonim say that of course this discussion is only by an animal that has a long tube of a veshet. If we're going to say that this is the shear by a bird, the whole veshet of a bird isn't that big. Now ask the Gemara Lamatat Kama. On the bottom of the esophagus, how far does it go that it's still considered the Veshit, that it's not the stomach yet? Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Ad Kadei Seir. There are like hairy pieces at the bottom of the tube, and at that area it's not the Veshit anymore, and you can't shecht it. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this correct? Vamar Ravina, Amar Geneva, Mishmei, the Rav, Tefech Beveshit, Samach Lekeres, the last tefach of the veshit near the stomach, zer keres apnimi. That's already considered the keres. Ema kikashachet bekeres kashachet. So if you're shechting up to the area where is the hair, and Rav just taught us that the last tefach of the tube is already considered the stomach, so how could you shecht in that area? Answers the Gemara. Ema, the way to understand what he meant was, tefach bekeres samach leveshit, zer keres apnimi. Which means as follows. The veshit goes until the area of the hair. Afterwards, the keres begins. But as we learned in the Mishnah, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, there are two parts of the keres. The keres apnimi and the keres achitzin. So says Rav, that the first tefach after the veshit is completed is the tefach apnimi, and then the keres achitzin begins. That's one teretz. Iba is ayima, kikam Rav, the Torah Damas Tvei. Does it make a difference what type of animal we're discussing? If it's a large animal, so there's a lot of hair, so as soon as the hair begins, it's no longer a veshit, even though it's before the keres. By smaller animals, the keres begins earlier, not only after the hairy part. Now the Gemara goes into another halacha. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Torbetz HaVeshit Shenitl Kulam Alecha, if the entire Torbetz HaVeshit was disconnected from the jaw, kosher. The animal is still a kosher animal. V'tana tuna, and the Gemara says we actually learned this in the Mishnah. We're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph Mitzvah Shem. Nitel lechi atachtit. If the jaw is disconnected, kosher. The animal is still kosher. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that if the animal is disconnected, if the jaw is disconnected, the animal is still kosher? Maskler papa the ikur seeker sammonim. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. If you will recall, when we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the five things that disqualify Shechita, and we spoke about ikur. So Rashi defined ikur that you shecht with a knife that has a begima, that has a niche in it. But we also learned that the Bahag says that what is the definition of ikur? Is when the simonim are not where they're supposed to be. And we also said that Rashi doesn't necessarily dispute that interpretation. So if we're saying that the definition of ikur that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta is the one that simonim are out of the place, so how can we suggest that if the jaw is completely dislodged, that the animal is kosher? Isn't that a situation of ikur? Ask the Gemara and the Rapapa. So Rav Papa is saying that if the lechi, if the jaw is completely dislodged, the animal is treif. But what's Rav Papa going to do with the Mishnah? Well, Rav Papa, kasha masnisin. The Mishnah clearly says, nitel lech natachten kasher. So the Gemara is saying, let's ignore Shmuel. We have here a stira. On one hand, the Mishnah says, nitel lechi atachten, that if the jaw is removed, kasher, the animal is kasher. And on the other hand, we have a braisa that teaches us, that if the lechi, that if it's ikur, it's a nevela. So how do we reconcile that? Forget about Shmuel. Answers the Gemara. Masnisin la papa loy kasha. That itself is not a question. Why? Ha the ikuri ikur. Ha the igumim igumi alismanim. If it's completely dislodged, that's called ikur. And that's indeed a nevela. If it's only igume, milui simonim, it's just sort of disconnected, but it's still not completely separated, it's fine. So the two Mishnayos that we've quoted are not a question. But the Gemara goes back to Shmuel. Shmuel said that Torbetz HaVeshit Shenitl Kulay, it's completely dislodged, it's still kosher. What's he going to do with the issue of ikur? Ela l'shmul kasha, answers the Gemara, lo'tei makula, ela a meruba. The way to understand Shmuel is that if it's only roiv dislodged, then the halacha is it's still kosher, and that's what Shmuel taught us. When we learn the halacha is that if it's ikur, it's treif, it's talking when it's completely disconnected. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rabbi Barav Chana Mishmul, simonim shadal the berubin treifa. So what are we saying? That when did Shmuel say it's kosher? When it's only roiv, not all of it. But here we have another statement of Shmuel that says that even roiv is treif. So we have a steer in Shmuel. On one hand, Shmuel said a few lines on top that turbits haveit shveishet shenut nitol kula melechi, and we're saying that kula means rubai is kosher. And here we have a statement from Shmuel that simonim shenadal de berubin are treifa. How do we reconcile these two statements? Answers the Gemara, Am Rishesh Breid Ravidi, Ha de Ikbalik Bule, Hasun de Ifrika Afruki. There are two ways how something could be dislodged. It could be dislodged in one spat, or it could be dislodged in a number of spats. If it's dislodged only in one spat, even though it's Rubai, it doesn't look like somebody yanked it apart, wrenched it apart. And therefore, since it's only Roif, Shmuel holds it kosher. But if it's dislodged in a number of spats, and that's how you have roiv, what happened here? Obviously, somebody was trying to pull it apart. He wasn't completely successful, but he was somewhat successful. And that's why Shmuel will agree it's treif. We learned in the Mishnah, Psukas HaGageris. The Mishnah said that if the kana, the gageris, is cut, if it's mostly cut, we had this halacha numerous times in our Masecht already, then the animal's already in the veil. Tana kama psukas per gageris, and the Brisa clearly says it like we just learned. Berubai, if it's roif cut, then it's treif. Ask the Gemara of a kama ruba, what is considered roif? Says the Gemara, Rav Omar roif avya. Vamalai roif chalol. So we have to describe the gageris to understand what the Gemara says here. The way the gageris looks, and we've explained this previously, is that the gageris is actually two layers. The inner layer is a layer of skin, and the outer layer is a layer of cartilage. But it's very interesting. The skin goes around the entire kana, the entire gageris. The cartilage part only goes around like a semicircle. So if you were to look at a gageris facing you, it would look like a horseshoe, because the cartilage is only covering three quarters, like a semicircle, and the bottom is a very thin layer of skin. There's no cartilage on the bottom. I actually saw in the Sefer Temuni Chol that he quotes Rabelsky, the why that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this way, because we know that the kana is through where the animal breeds. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically did not make that it should be completely cartilage, because sometimes you need to expand the area where you breathe. And cartilage is hard material that's not expandable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely made that there should be a part that doesn't have cartilage around it, that part could be expanded if he needs more air or needs to emit a loud bellow, a larger noise. So now, if we're talking about this horseshoe, this kana, so if we think about it, the top is thicker than the bottom. And we're speaking about the roif. That has to be roif to be considered treif. Roif of it has to be cut to be considered treif. So when we speak about the roif and we have the semicircle, are we cutting from the top down, and therefore you have the thickness of the skin? Or do we not include the thickness of the skin? We only think about the part that's empty, the cholol. If we say the cholol, it's going to be a kula, because you don't include the thickness of the top. If you say that you include the thickness of the top, it'll be treif much sooner. Says the Gemara, some say Rav Ovya, which is a chumra, Varmalei Rav Chalala, and some say Rav Chalala, which is a kula. So says the Gemara, Hu Psukas Gageris, there was indeed an incident of a Psukas Gageris, Dosla Kamei de Rav, that was brought to Rav with a Shaila, Yosef Kabadalei Berav Ovya. So Rav took the chumra digger, the stringent approach, that if it was roiv avya, it's treif. Omlei, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, L'Rav, they said to Rav, L'Maratanu Rabbeinu, have you not taught us the roiv chalala? And why are you taking the stringent approach? Rav didn't respond. Says the Gemara, Shadr l'kameh the Rav b'Bachana. They sent this very same animal with a shayla to Rav b'Bachana. But k'b'roiv chalola, he took the lenient approach. He checked roiv chalola for achshara, and he said there was kosher. V'zomimineh, and he bought it. He bought meat from it. B'tleis istri pshita, bisra. He bought 13 coins worth of meat. Ask the Gemara, v'eichi avi haki, how was Rav b'Bachana allowed to do this? For Tanya, doesn't the Braisa say, Chacham shetimei, once a Chacham said that something is tamei, en chavei rishayla tar, the other person cannot say it's tar. Osir, if a Tamat Chacham said something is osir, en chavei rishayla hatar. So how could he be matter if Rav said it was treif? And before we go further, there's a machloikas rishayim. Why indeed is this the halacha? That if a Chacham said that something is not kosher, another Chacham is not allowed to say that it's mutter. And actually, as all the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have asked the question on the people as well. How did the people have a right to go ask a Shaila to another Rav once the first Rav said it's treif? But the Gemara focuses on the Rav because we expect from the Rav a higher level of observance. So how did the Rav go and say something? How did he dispute the previous Psak that Rav said it was not kosher? So why are you not allowed to do it? So as I said, there's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say the reason is because it's covet of the Talmud Chacham. The covet of the Talmud Chacham teaches us that you're not allowed to argue if he issued a psak. Another explanation is we have a klal, we have a rule throughout Shas, of shavya nafshi chaticha de surah. Once the Rav paskin that this piece of meat is not kosher, you have no right to say that it's kosher. It became treif. Shavya nafshi chaticha de surah. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? The main nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, let's say the Rav is moichel on his covet. Let's say the Rav himself changes his mind. So if the issue is that's covet, he himself changed his mind, or he's moichel on his covet. If the issue is shavya nafshi chaticha de surah, then his changing his mind, or his being moichel on his covet, doesn't make a difference. Another nafkamina is what happens, as our Gemara is speaking, at least at this point, where you didn't follow the Rav's psak, and you went against it. So if we say it's issue of covet, so you indeed did the wrong thing, but it's not a problem. But if, apidin, it's mutter. If you say, shavya nashe chaticha de surah became a piece of treif meat, then you're saying it's kosher won't make a difference. Another nafkamina is, what will be the halacha? We're not talking anymore about this specific piece of meat. We're talking about another piece of meat with the identical shayla. So if we're saying the issue is that's covered, so it doesn't make a difference if it's this piece of meat or that piece of meat. If the first rav issued a psak, and by me not following that psak, it's a lack of proper respect, so it makes no difference. If it's a shavya nafshe chaticha di surah, it's only this piece of meat. He didn't speak about another piece of meat. Another nafkamina. What would happen if a Rav gave a lenient psak, and I want to be, and the next Rav wants to be machmer? If the issue is out covered, so it makes no difference if he was lenient, if he was mekel or machmer. You're not allowed to go against this psak because it's a lack of covered. If the issue is because of shavya nafshe chaticha de surah, shavya nafshe chaticha de surah is only when he said it's asur, not when he said it's mutter. However, the Paiskim also do point out that if the Rav who issued the first psak was a tar. There's two types of mistakes. I referred to them in the previous year. There's something called a tar b'dvar mishnah, and there's something called a tar b'shikol hadas. Tar b'dvar mishnah means that he forgot an open mishnah. Tar b'shikol hadas is a svara. Where are we discussing this entire issue only by tar b'shikol hadas? But let's say the Rav issued a psak, which is contradicted by open mishnah, by open gemara, by open piece of shulchan aruch. Then we don't have to worry about all these issues. So the question comes back, how did Rabbi B'Bachana issue a psak after Rav, that it's mutter, after Rav said it's usher? Answers the Gemara, Shani Rahacha, there it's different, the Rav loy usher meser. Rav never said it's usher. Rav had a question. If Rav would have given a definitive psak, you can't go against the definitive psak. Here it wasn't a definitive psak. But ask the Gemara, the Kivin, the Arbei Hacham, fine. So we understand why he could take a, issue a psak. But how did he eat from this meat? For ksiv, we remember we discussed it the other day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel to eat dvarim u'usim, disgusting things. Why? Because Klal Yisrael was going into Golus, and he wanted Yechezkel to get a taste of what Golus is about. And Yechezkel says to Hashem, V'yoma ha'ho Hashem alakim. We spoke about this pasuk the other day. Hinei nafshi lo mutama, v'nevela v'trefa lo chalti min uri v'ati, v'lo baba fi pasa bigel. And the Gemara explains, and therefore since I acted this way, just to explain what the context of the pasuk, Yechezkel was saying to Hashem, since I always acted this way, how could you make me do this? And the Gemara explains the pasuk. Hinei nafshi lo mutama, shlo harhati b'yoyim, lo v'ladei tuma b'layla. I was careful never to have machshavas by day that would bring me to an emission by night. V'nevel v'trefevel chalti. So, as we explained, it can't be pashup shat, because that isn't anything great to say you didn't eat nevel v'trefevel. Nobody's allowed to eat nevel v'trefevel. Shloi chalti bas kais me'olam. Meat that was a musukenes, that we spoke about in the previous perek al pidin, is mutter, he didn't eat. V'loi b'bar v'fi pisav pigel. This is why it was relevant to us. Shloi chalti v'heimah shabar chacham. And as the Rishonim explain, even though Yechezkel is saying that he took this stringent, he had this chumrah, that he didn't eat from meat, shahoyr b'chachem, obviously Rabbi Babachana, who is also a great individual, would have also taken that approach. So how could he have eaten from the meat that there was a shaylon? And, v'shem amnasan amr, shloi chaltim b'heim, shloi horba matim nasa. I didn't eat from behemah, we spoke about this as well. The halacha is that you have to give portions of the behemah to the kohen. Let's say you have a kohen and the portions haven't been separated. He didn't give, so may a kohen eat from that animal, because what's the difference? So he said that even though technically, halachically, I was allowed to eat from it, I didn't eat from that meat anyway. And as the Mefarshim explained, it's obvious that Rabbi Bochana doesn't agree with this explanation. Rabbi Bachana holds that you are allowed, that nobody's allowed to eat from that meat if it wasn't physically separated. So obviously, what is Rabbi Bachana's explanation of the pasuk? That Yechezkel was saying that I never ate from meat that a Rav paskened on. And that's the way great people are supposed to act. But if that's the way great people are supposed to act, how do you eat from this meat after it had a shayla on it? Answers the Gemara. When is there a halacha that there's a point of not eating from a meat that there was a shayla on? Hani mili milsi the talib of svara. Requires svara. So that, you know, on a svara you could always argue that it may be incorrect. And therefore you should avoid relying on svaras. Rabbi Bachana, a gamri suffik, he relied on, he had a kabbalah. Something that's a kabbalah, there's no inyan of basar shara bar chacham. And as we explained when we learned the sugya, that even those that are machmer on basar shara bar chacham, let's say somebody doesn't know the halacha. And he asked the simplest shayla. That's not called basa shayla b'chachem if the halacha is open, black and white, that it's mutter. And as I said, when we learned the shir, the sugya and daf lamed zayin, not only is it not considered basa shayla b'chachem, but the person who refuses to eat it, I quoted the Bnei Yisoschar, that the Bnei Yisoschar says that let's say there's a drop of milk that fell into a pot of meat that's bottle b'shishim, and you ask the Rav, and the Rav knows that it's bottle b'shishim, and you're going to say, I'm machmer, you're apikairis. Because the Torah taught us shishim. You can't be frumer than Hashem. Ask the Gemara, v'tepiklei, b'shim chajta. Fine. Rabbi Babachana had every right to paskin, as our Gemara is teaching us. Because Rav never issued a definitive psak. It wasn't really a shayla. But ask the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, hadonas adin, if a rav paskin the shayla, zika v'chayiv, tima v'teir, os v'heter, v'kena edim, shehidu. If edim said testimony regarding a situation, kulam rishoyim lika. Technically, they're allowed to take that meat. Av omr chachamim, chazal taught us, hachik menachia menadoim aloi. It isn't appropriate that this person paskin of the meat is kosher, and then he buys the meat, because it looks like he did it, because he has personal interest. And to the Gemara, Hani Mili midi de mazgim mishuma, if he would have bought meat just by estimation. So there is a concern that he went to the store to buy a pound of meat. They're not putting it on the weight. They're not putting it on the scale. So there's a concern they're giving him more than a pound. Why? Because he gave them the psak that he wanted. Hacha, miskalam muchach. He paid fair and square. They put the meat on the scale. They weighed the meat. And he paid according to the right price. So he doesn't have anything to gain from this psak. He wouldn't have bought this meat. He would have bought a duffer meat. Says the Gemara, ki ha de rabbi shor tarfasa. Rabbi said that a piece of meat wasn't treif. V'zovim in abisra. And then he bought that meat. Amay bas, Rav Chizda. So the daughter of Rav Chizda said, abba shor b'chra. We know we're going to learn mitzashem, mesecht b'chayris. The main issue mesecht b'chayris is that the firstborn animal is a b'char. And specifically, b'zman hazeh, we have a real issue. It has the din of a b'char, but it can't be bought as a carbon. So Gemara discusses there that you have to put, if the animal becomes a balmum, then you could eat it, not in the Beis Hamikdash. So there was an incident where Rav Chizda was the one that said that this animal, this b'char, was a balmum, v'loizovim minei bisra, and he refused to buy the meat. And as Mefarshim explained based on Rashi, Rav Chizda, Rashi says, was a kohen. Why does Rashi say that Rav Chizda was a kohen? Because if he wasn't a kohen, there's a machlokes if a non-kohen may eat b'char meat. But says the Gemara of Chizda, says Rashi was a kohen. So why wasn't he allowed to pass? Why wasn't he allowed to buy it? If you hold it, you're allowed to buy it. Answers the Gemara, you can't compare our issue to the b'char. Hanimil b'chra, the shum is dab. The halacha is that the meat of the b'char that's a balmum, even though now you could eat it, you can't sell it. You have to treat it with respect. And you can't just sell it in the store. It only can be sold by estimation. Therefore, there's a concern that the Rav, who said it's a balmum, may get some advantage, which we have to be concerned about. Hacha, miskla mucha. Here it was sold, like we said a moment ago, by the weight. He didn't get anything from his psak. Said Rav, and if you'll say, ma'ika mishum umtsa ma'al yisa, you'll say that I got the choicest piece of meat, that isn't a raya. Whenever I go to the store, they give me the best piece of meat, so I didn't gain anything with this psak. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chizda, Ezu Talmud Chacham, who is a Talmud Chacham? Zer Roy Trefel Atzman. What does this mean? So first of all, why do we have to know who is a Talmud Chacham? So most Rishonim explain that the Gemara says in many places that if somebody lost something, and now he wants to retrieve it, he has to give a simon. A Talmud Chacham doesn't have to give a simon, Tfiyas Ayin. So Gemara wants to know who is in the category of a Talmud Chacham. Others say that there were people, again, those days they didn't really have Hechsher. So who's a Talmud Chacham that you could eat in his house without any question? Zaroy Treifel Atzmai. That's somebody who's on the Madrega that he gets a piece of meat. It's his own piece of meat. It's his own animal. And he has no problem to say it's a Treifel. That shows his level of honesty and seriousness that he's in the category of a Talmud Chacham. Others say, Zaroy Treifel Atzmai means that the person is always ready to think that he's always ready to inspect himself. Zaroy Treifel Atzmai, he's always checking his acts. I saw a beautiful pshat. The Gemara, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that when it speaks about Talmidei Chachamim, the Gemara says that the Mishnah says the characteristics of a Talmud Chacham are Makar Mekoymai and Sameich Bechalkai. What does that mean? Hamakar Mekoymai, so the Mefarshim explain, the person realizes what's Mekoymai, where's the place that we're all going to end up? In the earth. A person who lives that way is Sameich Bechalkai, because he knows that this entire life is fleeting, it's temporary. Eiz a Talmud Chacham, who's a Talmud Chacham? Haroi Treifel Atzmai. He's always thinking that I'm a day away from dying, I'm always a day away from being a Treifa, and therefore he lives as a Sameich Bechalkai. Vama, Rav Chizda, continues the Gemara, Eiz a Sonim Matanis Yechya, the Pasuk says Sonim Matanis Yechya, Zeroi Treifel Atzmai. Again, he's a person that says that I'm not going to take from what doesn't belong to me, and he's not interested in living what doesn't belong to him. Darush Mazutra Mishmeid Rav Chizda. Kol Shekar V'Shoina. The Gemara is saying a Pashto thing. Just because you pass on a Treifa doesn't make you into Talmud Chacham. The first thing you have to do is learn. Kol Shekar V'Shoina. V'Roi Treifa La'atzmai. v'shimish tamid chachamim, olav akosa oimer, yigi kapech kisoichel, ashrecha v'toivlach. Omer v'rezvir omer, soicha v'noich l'shnei olamas, ha'ilam hazeh v'ilam haba, ashrecha v'ilam hazeh v'toivlach v'ilam haba. There are many pshatim in this Gemara, but I have to quote the pshat of the Marsha. Marsha says a beautiful pshat. He says like this, when a person gets a piece of meat, and there's a shayla on that meat. So you think about that person, and he wants to be machmer and not eat the piece of meat. So that person is going to have olam haba, but he's not going to have olam haza. The person, however, is a talmud chacham, and he knows how to pasuk in a shayla. So what happens to that person? He now pasuks that the meat is mutter, so he has olam haza because he could eat the meat, and he has olam haba because he learned. Ashrecha, the talmud chacham, who was able to pass the shayla, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba. He'll have both worlds. Says the Gemara, Rava, v'raza kev v'shadal lebe b'nasiyim midi, if they would send him any food, lo shakel, he would refuse. V'yav mezam nilei, if he was invited to eat in somebody's house, lo ozel, he would refuse to go. Omar, because he would say, lo goy boy mad ichi, don't you want that I should live? T'ksiv, as the pasuk says, v'soinim metanis yichya. Rav Zeira, Kimshadrilei, if they would send him something, Lo Shokel. However, Kamazanilei, if he was invited to eat in someone's house, Ozel. Amar, Eskuri, the Mesyakrubi, it's their pleasure that I'm joining them for the meal. The Pashup Shah in the Gemara is, what's the difference between Rebbe Lezer and Rav Zeira? Rebbe Lezer was a poor person. So if he would go to someone's house to eat, he was living off someone else, Sayamatan Siyachya. Rav Zeira didn't need the other person's food. He was a wealthy individual. So if he went somewhere else, he only went there because to give them the honor that he was joining them for their suda. The Gemara says, "Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'toivlach la'olam haba." There's a beautiful vart from the Noam Elimelech that we'll end the shiur with. The Noam Elimelech says that it's hard to understand how a person should want gashmius. Is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in the world? That we ask for gashmius, we ask for wealth, we ask for money? The answer is, what does a Jew do when he has money? He pays tuition to send his child to yeshiva. He buys tefillin. He buys mezuzahs. He buys an esrog. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh. We thank you for giving us olam hazeh. Because why does a Jew want olam hazeh? For tovlach olam haba, that we should be able to do mitzvahs, and with those mitzvahs we should be zoichet olam haba.